our scripture lesson this morning, I would like for us to go to Mark's Gospel, and we'll be reading from the 10th chapter. We'll be reading verses 13 through 31. Mark 10, beginning to read with verse 13. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake or for the gospel, who will not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter into it." May God add his blessing to our reading and hearing that portion of his word, and I'd ask that we look once again to the Lord in prayer. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we do want to come like little children, looking to you, O God, as our sovereign Lord and God. We give you humble thanks, Father, for every mercy and blessing, and we're thankful for this passage of Scripture, and we do pray, O God, that your Holy Spirit will direct us as we think about it, and that you, Father, will give us understanding. And I would pray, Father, that that understanding might be applied to us individually and personally. We ask all of this now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I think that probably for most of us, this passage of Scripture that we've read today is very familiar, and it's probably one toward which you and I might even be especially sentimental. When it comes to children, I think we're usually a bit more tender. And when it comes to children and to inclusion in God's great eternal kingdom, I think our attention is probably captivated rather easily. The Lord says, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter into it. Well, you know, we read those words, and I think at the same time they're both very sweet and they're very profound. The words, I think, are profound because they actually address the spirit and the attitude with which individual people are to be brought into God's eternal kingdom. In a meeting of mothers, the question was asked, how early in a child's life should one seek to influence that life to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Many views, I think, were expressed, but one was especially arresting. That mother says, I tell you, when I began to influence my daughter for the sake of Christ, I began 20 years before she was born by seeking the saving and keeping power of Jesus for myself. And then one day a child asked her mother, how old must I be before I can become a Christian? And that mother says, well, that's a good question, but before I answer it, let me ask you three questions. And the first question is, how old must you be before you can trust me to take care of you? And the little girl says, why, Mama, you know I can trust you right now. The second question is, how old must you be to love? And the response of the child to that question was, why, Mama, Mother, you know that I love you already. And then the third question was, how old must you be to do what you want me to do? And so the mother replied, the child replied, I can do that right now. And the mother says, well, if you can do these three things, you're old enough to become a Christian. You can trust Jesus to save you from your sins. You can look to Jesus, love Jesus, and you can try to please him. Well, now, it seems that on an occasion, the famous Spurgeon made the statement, ere a child has reached age 7, teach to him the way of heaven. Better still, the work will thrive if he learns before he is 5. When Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. It seems to me that this passage of scripture that we've read this morning presents you and me with two messages. It tells us first that Jesus himself takes children seriously, and that you and I as believers and followers of Jesus must do the same. But it tells us secondly that Jesus calls people to be like children in their Christian faith response. This is talking about how we are brought to life and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying that each and every one of us must be like a child. Now, Scripture teaches that children are indeed gifts of God. And I think we all remember, Old Testament Hannah, how she prayed for a child. And then when Samuel was born, she took that child to the temple, entrusted him to Eli, and Samuel served the Lord all the days of his life. It seems that in connection with the passage of Scripture that we've read today, Hebrew culture very definitely elevates the family, and it emphasizes the importance of children. And I think that the passage that we've read displays how Jesus himself lifted children to an even greater level of significance and importance. In the text that we've read, Jesus is on his way to the cross. And after the child's first birthday, it seems that Hebrew mothers, according to custom, they made certain that their children were touched and they were prayed over by a rabbi. And though Mark's words for children and certainly includes an age span which runs perhaps from 1 year to 12, the fact that Jesus took the children into his arms certainly indicates that there were children present on that occasion. So now, parents who had brought their anxious, squirming, and crying children to Jesus to be blessed, and on that occasion, the disciples were provoked. The disciples, I think, had difficulty seeing the relevance of all of that clamor in light of the great teaching that Jesus was giving on the kingdom of God, and also in the fact that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem where he was going to suffer and die and to pay the price for the sin of the world. I think probably on this occasion the disciples were making an effort to protect Jesus and his priorities, but it's quite obvious that the Lord saw things quite differently. Mark records, when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. Jesus was indignant? It's sort of interesting because in the New Testament, this Greek word for indignant only occurs on this one occasion. And it is a combination of two words, much and to grieve. In this occasion, Jesus was much grieved. Our Lord's anger flashed at the distorted values of the disciples. And at the same time, we see here that Jesus rose to the defense of little children. Our Lord elevates children, and he's letting us know that for entry into God's kingdom, he promotes little children, and he promotes their example of faith. When in the second place, Jesus calls you and me and all people to be like little children in our faith response to Jesus Christ. In that time when you and I were brought, or in that time that we are to be brought, we are to be like little children as the Holy Spirit is able to deal with us and to bring us to life and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course now on this occasion, Jesus is not calling you and me to be children, but he's calling us to be like children as we're ushered by God's Holy Spirit into the kingdom. Now, in light of a larger picture, it's to be sure that you and I and other people are to be mature young people or adults, being grown constantly in our Christian faith, knowledge, and wisdom. And yet, our maturity as we're brought to Christ must also include some of the simplicity of childlike faith. As Jesus says, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Well, now, what is it about the child to which Jesus refers? And one or two little children have come into the sanctuary this morning, and we've all enjoyed the opportunity of being in the presence of a little child. What is it about a child to which Jesus refers? Well, now, when we think about a child, I think we think about the little ones. We think about the ones who are so precious, so fragile, so innocent, so helpless, so defenseless, so trusting, so reliant, so dependent, so vulnerable, and so impressionable. Our first instinct with a little baby or child is to protect its head, its hands, its fingers. How we glory in a little child's smile, and how we ache when a baby is hurt and cries. It's so easy to love a little child, and we all revel in opportunities to hold them closely and to squeeze them tightly. Well, now, all such things about little children make them most dear, and yet when it comes to childlike faith, our Lord had something entirely different in mind. As a little child trusts, relies, and depends totally and completely on its parents and on other people to supply its every need, so sinners are to trust, rely, and depend totally and completely on God and Jesus Christ for redemption from sin and for eternal salvation. Maybe I ought to say it again. As a child trusts, relies, and depends upon its parents to supply everything, so the sinner has to look to God in Christ with the same trust, reliance, and dependence. Little children are very cute and childlike in many ways, but it is the total trust of a child that Jesus refers to when he presents essentials of faith and salvation. Now, I didn't exactly plan this way, and yet it works out to such great advantage. I can't resist thinking about my grandchildren. I have three, two of whom are in the sanctuary this morning. The other one is in church in Hendersonville. I wish he could be here as well also. But I have three grandchildren. And I think about those grandchildren and all of the efforts now. It's a family endeavor. All of us as adults and parents and grandparents do everything that we possibly can to supply the needs of these grandchildren. And you know, because these grandkids are unaware of our human frailties and limitations, I don't think they doubt in any way whatsoever our ability to meet their need. And as a result, you know, at this point in their lives, I don't think my grandchildren worry about anything. If our faith and trust in God are to be of saving nature, they must be as complete and total as is my grandchildren's faith and trust in us as their family. Of course, that which is far more important is the fact that where we mortals are weak and fallible and incapable, Almighty God is always completely able to meet our every need. That we may receive the kingdom of God, we like little children must with total surrender and abandon give ourselves and everything to God. I think this is the essence of what Jesus is talking about. And I think it is that. I don't think it's something for which we mortals would necessarily strive. It is actually a work of the Holy Spirit that you and I brought to such reliance and dependence upon God that we trust Him for salvation itself and forgiveness, and we trust Him for all the promises that God gives to us in His Word. But it is this total and complete surrender and trust of a child to which Jesus refers in this passage of Scripture. And by the Holy Spirit, the Lord is looking for that same kind of surrender and complete trust and reliance that you and I would have in God and in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Well, now, as we've said, this text presents two primary messages. It tells us that Jesus takes children seriously and that you and I must do the same. And it tells us that people must be like little children in their faith response to God in Jesus Christ. Well, now, we say these things, but we can't stop because in our text, Jesus speaks also about a man. And this man is described in all three synoptic gospels who's familiar to, I think, most of us. Mark refers to this man as one with great wealth. Luke says that he was a ruler and a man of great wealth. And then Matthew adds that he was a young man. And so putting all that together, you and I today have the designation of that man known to us as a rich young ruler. In our text, it's very obvious that this man ran to Jesus. He knelt before him. He referred to Jesus as teacher. And the rich young ruler inquired about eternal life. In response to that man's question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus directed him to do something that was totally contrary to his previous way of life. To the rich young ruler, Jesus said, "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." If that man were to find the childlike way of faith and trust in Jesus Christ, which leads to heaven, that man was going to have to loosen his grip on that in which he trusted most, namely in his wealth. It's interesting he had said, too, that for this man the choice was very straightforward. It was either riches or the kingdom. And his reaction, sadly enough, displays how accurately Jesus understood him. You see the insight of the Lord into this man. And Jesus has the same insight into you and me, and he knows what's important in our lives. But that man would not give up his wealth, and as our text says, he went away sad. Now, this is why the childlike are saved. They put their trust willingly and completely in Jesus. And you know, I'm sure that each of us at some point, when we've been brought to the Lord through some element of witness, through willingness and surrender, we have been brought to Jesus. But you know, too often in each of us, there are aspects of our lives that have not been turned over willingly to the Lord. And I think that's probably what's known as the process of sanctification. But now a little child is going to trust willingly and completely. And if you and I are going to be like little children as the Holy Spirit deals with us, as He brings us to Jesus and as He grows us in Jesus, our trust has got to be as willing and complete as well. Citizenship in God's kingdom is a matter of commitment to Jesus Christ above all else. Everything else aside, commitment to Christ must be first and foremost. It begins with yieldingness to the fact that we find salvation by trusting God and not by trusting anything that we have or that we can do. Well, now, this passage does not suggest that the poor are naturally spiritual or people of faith, nor does it say that the wealthy are automatically materialistic or sinful. But for our own instruction and for that of all people, this text says that our inclusion in God's great eternal kingdom depends upon our childlike surrender, faith, and trust in God through Jesus Christ. And what Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 comes to bear when it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And it should say to each of us that we cannot allow anything to compete or to interfere with that childlike faith response. That's the problem. The human nature is still in there, and the world's still a part of us. But we can't allow anything to compete or to interfere with our childlike faith response to God. And by God's grace, may our own faith response to God be of such childlike nature. And we must pray that the same would be the case with all people. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you are a merciful and gracious God and that your heart is tender toward us like unto that of children. We're thankful, Father, for the illustration that our Lord gives to each of us that our faith experience with you is to be the same as a little child. We're thankful, Father, for little children and their presence in our midst. And we're thankful, Father, for the example that they set before each of us. I would pray today, O God, that your Holy Spirit would deal with each of us in such way that we might be convicted of our own need to be more like little children and to be have that work in us by your Spirit. We ask your continued work in each of our lives for the sake of Christ and our faith of response, and we offer our prayer in his name. Amen.